Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are going to be talking about marriage, specifically about picking your battles in marriage. So stick with us because there might be a bit more to the title than you may think. But it's kind of weird, Mark, being back here, just me and you at the mic, I guess. We don't really have a studio. Because it's been a while. We've had other people sitting down here with us, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, several actually interviews, I guess you could say, or conversations, I would say.
Yeah, I would say conversations too.
And we have more to come as well.
Yeah, so we've recorded a lot, but have not posted all of those yet. So make sure you're still listening.
So today, pick your battles.
Right. I would like to start, though, if you're okay with it, from a scripture from Ephesians chapter 5, so if you have not listened to the previous marriage episode, go back and do that. It was on choosing love, if I remember correctly. And we talked about this scripture in that episode as well, but I wanted to revisit it just for context, for the purposes of today. So it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and then verses 31 and 32. And it says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." So again, this scripture kind of, this is why we believe marriage is so important.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a picture of how Christ loved the church. And I mean, clearly it's an important union.
So maybe the question is this still relevant if you're not married or if you've been married a long time?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yes, about picking your battles for sure. So, yeah. So keep listening and you'll see how.
Yeah. And I mean, just in general, whether you are considering marriage, whether you are married newly, whether you've been married a long time, all of that is still relevant for what we're talking about today. So why don't we jump in? Now, you said earlier this might be a little different than you're expecting. What did you mean?
Right. Well, so this is quite possibly, I don't know if I can say my favorite scripture, but one of my top scriptures in the Bible. And it also comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And this is right around where it's talking about the armor of God, putting on the full armor of God. So let me just read verse 12, chapter 6 of Ephesians. Okay. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So the idea of picking your battles in this sense is figuring out who your battle is actually against. And if we look at this scripture, it's clearly telling us my battle is not against my spouse, right? For example, in the context of conflict in marriage, my battle isn't even against my spouse. My battle is against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. My battle is against the devil. So we're recording this on Easter Sunday. And so just Jesus's death and resurrection is fresh in my mind, and I'm thinking of his walk to the cross and all the things that took place and all the enemies Jesus had, right? And not once did he fight against them. You know, not once did he do that. In fact, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done." And if we just look at that example, you know, he knew who the real enemy was, and he knew he was going to defeat him on the third day, you know, and rise from the grave and then defeat him once and for all, you know, when he comes again. And I don't know, I think if we look at him as a model, I mean, he loved his enemies because he knew who his true enemy was.
Well, he's the ultimate example of this concept of understanding the bigger picture, the bigger perspective. You mentioned Easter, and I remember the one example of Pontius Pilate saying, "Hey, don't you know I have the authority to crucify you?" And he said, you would have no authority over me unless it was given to you by our by God, basically. Yeah,
I liked that.
And so just this idea that it's bigger than what's right in front of us. Mm-hmm. Something's going on. So when we think about conflict, it's not about the thing that's right in front of us, so to speak. It's more than that. And what are we striving towards? So, okay, good. So whenever we were newly married, mm-hmm. I can recall a lot of times I would say, hey, I'm on your side. We'd be in a conflict and it felt like maybe it wasn't resolving or whatever was happening. And I would say, hey, I'm on your side. Mm-hmm. And you used to tell me, like, you kind of didn't want that. What were you thinking during those times?
I don't know that I can remember exactly. Sometimes I feel like I was more, frustrated by that. Like, I just want to be mad right now. And no, you're not on my side. This does not seem like you're on my side, from my point of view. Because I was angry in that moment. But then there were other times that it was, I don't know if disarming would be a good word or refreshing or like,
Well, yeah.
It helped me bring my guard down, I guess. Like, he is my husband. He is on my side, right? The two become one flesh. We're in this together kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. I would say, because, and this gets complicated, but you have to make sure if you're going to say, hey, I'm on your side, don't use it in some sort of patronizing way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to dig at you or try to win, but hey, I'm on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. And I don't have a recollection that I was doing that or whatever, The point being, be careful of that if you're thinking about using that vocabulary with your spouse. If you're going to say, hey, I'm on your side, mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it mean to be on, hey, I'm on your side? What does that mean? So, okay, yeah. So we have this other point about conflict that comes from Scripture as well, and how to resolve it. And if you're in conflict or you're angry, what you should do. Do you want to read that Scripture as well?
It's also from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil.
Don't sin by letting anger control you is the first part of that Scripture. And when I think about letting anger control you, I actually think back a little bit to one of the podcasts we did about responding versus reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the short idea there is respond, don't react to situations. Because the point is, something happens, you have some emotion stir in you, and you sort of have a point, you have an idea, you have a moment where you can choose. And you might not realize it, but you can sort of just react. This emotion happened, I'm angry, react. Or you can, emotion happens, you feel anger, you can process it and say, okay, let me think about this situation a little bit, and then choose a response. That's the alternative. And when I see the Scripture that says, don't sin by letting anger control you, I think about if you react, that's how anger can control you.
Yeah.
Because you're just saying, hey, this emotion happened, anger, go, do, act based on the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And this says, no, don't let anger control you. And so that's what I thought about that a little bit with this Scripture.
Yeah, that's good. And we can link to that episode too in the notes if anybody wants to find that.
But then there's this other part about, so after that, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And I can remember many times where you and I you know, tried to live this out, and it, not that it was perfect, but like, I can remember like mm-hmm. we would be laying in bed in some sort of conflict and like laying in bed silent for a little while and like, hey, are you asleep?
Yeah.
No, I'm not asleep. You know, and like we still had to talk it out, but trying to make sure we didn't let the sun go down. We didn't let the night go down on anger. And so that's a very specific example, but the idea being here, don't just stuff it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. What was your thought on that?
Well, you know, we're talking about picking your battles here and, you know, and realizing that your battle isn't actually against your spouse. It's against the evil one. But, you know, the other piece to this is kind of what we're talking about is that there is going to be, or there are going to be battles, if you will, or conflict, right? We're talking about it. It's conflict. And so when those conflicts do arise, we need to navigate them well. And so, you know, just in doing that, right, we don't want to sin by letting anger control us. Just like you said, we don't want to go to bed angry because that gives a foothold to the devil. And I don't know about you, but the devil does not need any more footholds, you know, on my life. And so I don't want to do that. So another piece to navigating conflict well is the language that you use. So the you language versus I language. And so, for example, instead of saying you did this or you do that or you make me feel this or you, you know, using that you language, it's better and more productive to use I language. Like, I feel like this when X happens, or it seems to me that you are not taking out the trash very often and I'm getting very aggravated by that, versus you never take out the trash, you know. We really don't argue about the trash, do we? Well, recycling
is the argument in our house.
Okay, so I should have used that example. So even just something as simple as changing a word, you know, can help with navigating conflict a little bit better.
You know, one of the things when you were saying that that reminded me of was we tried to be very intentional to say, no one makes me anything.
Yeah, right.
Like, you can't make me angry. Now, something you do, anger might stir in me as sort of an emotion, but then I get that point to choose. How do I want to respond to this? Right. I could react or I could respond to this. So, yeah, I like that idea of you did this is sort of a cop-out almost. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, I think, to hear, but it's a cop-out to say, I have the opportunity to choose how I respond to this situation.
Yeah,
I think that's And good. So now it's – now on the flip side, say, hey, you didn't do that, and this is how I felt about it.
Right.
But I think there's this opportunity when you say, hey, here's how I felt about it. There's also this other opportunity to say, hey, tell me, am I kind of off base on this? And that's so diffusing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, because you're pretty good about doing that. You'll approach me with something and say, look, I might be totally wrong here, but this is how I'm feeling about this, or this is what it seems like to me. You know, basically, can we talk this out? Or, yeah. And I think that is, that's disarming.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'm very great at that. So thanks for saying that. But, and maybe sometimes I do it when I'm have a clear mind. But yeah, it's so much more empowering for the other person, and it actually just helps work through it.
Yeah.
So just admitting, like, I might be wrong.
Right.
Can you help me? What do you think?
Yeah, and I think it, you know, saying that, right, if you were the one to say, I might be wrong here, that there's some vulnerability in that, which is also disarming for the other person. It, you know, it's difficult to do for the person saying, I might be wrong here, but it's very helpful, I feel like, for the other person.
Yeah. And again, if you're going to say I might be wrong, mean it.
Yeah.
Don't say I might be wrong. Yeah. And then if they're like, yeah, you know what? I don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. Don't attack then. Like, okay, recalibrate a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, mean it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the only other thing I would say about this, and maybe we can go in a little bit more, but, you know, one of the things with pick your battles or choose your battles here is you might think about it like, oh, well, then I'll just kind of like let things go. Mm-hmm. That's not what you mean by pick your battles exactly. The point is, if something's bothering you, get it out into the open with your spouse for sure. But try to do it in a way that allows you to try to resolve the conflict, because those things will fester mm-hmm. inside of you. If you just keep stuffing them down, they will mm-hmm. fester and they will come out later in the worst times, mm-hmm. most likely.
Yeah.
Whenever other things are building up, and then they'll come back out. So just that was the last thing I wanted to say about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Another thing here that I would say is important is, because I've heard a lot of people talk about this, that conflict is not a bad thing with your spouse. Mm-hmm. And that might be tough for people mm-hmm. to come to grips with, I would say. Some people see it as, hey, either my parents or whatever avoided conflict, so that's what I see as good. Or maybe my parents fought terribly, and so I am going to avoid conflict. But conflict isn't bad. It's actually, strangely, it's an opportunity mm-hmm. to strengthen and deepen your relationship with your spouse. So what did you think about that? Did you ever think that conflict was a negative, or was it pretty normal for you that conflict would happen in a marriage?
Yeah, I can't recall ever thinking of conflict as negative. I just figured it was a part of marriage, a part of any, you know, friendship or any kind of relationship, actually.
Yeah, because sometimes you would hear people say, hey, we never fight. And that, yeah, in some ways is, it makes you think, oh, really? You never fight? Mm-hmm. Like, so isn't there some things you maybe should fight? Yeah. And maybe fight's a strong word, but at least have conflict to go through together mm-hmm. because it's an opportunity to negotiate and figure out, yeah, how you can strengthen your relationship together in so many different ways, whether you're having conflict about how to use money or your kids or what you should do together or what you should do separately. So,
yeah.
Okay. So conflict can be a way to strengthen and deepen your relationship. But when you're in conflict, here's a tip for that. If you think of it as a way to strengthen and deepen your relationship, that is the goal. The goal is not to win in conflict and in fights that you're having. It's to strengthen and deepen your relationship. And that has big implications if you're not trying to win
right.
a fight.
Right. Because as we were just kind of talking about this the other day, about this winning concept, one thing that came to my mind was, you know, scripture says the two become one flesh. And so you and your spouse are one. So if you're trying to win and the other one's trying to lose, like, that's incompatible, really. It's not going to work. You're both losers.
Yeah.
If you're trying to make one of the others lose. That's how I look at it anyway. But then you also said, what did you say?
I really like what you said, which was, hey, if the two are becoming one flesh, one together in marriage, then it's even a false idea to think that you can win and mm-hmm. your spouse can lose. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's worse than win-lose. It's mm-hmm. lose. Mm-hmm. It's just a pure loss, because if you're really one, you're really losing. Mm-hmm. What I said was, I'd say similar, related, but the idea being, if you're trying to win against your spouse, it means that you are trying to make your spouse a loser. And it also means that you want to be or are trying to be married to a loser. And it's sort of funny, but sort of derogatory. But the point being, do you really want that? Is that what you're trying to have happen in your life? Mm-hmm. Or do you want a win-win situation? A win-win situation would be, we're coming to some common understanding together.
Yeah.
And that common understanding together means, kind of comes back to where we started. Hey, this thing came up, it it bothered me. I might be totally off on it. Can you talk through this with me? Because I want us to come out of this stronger, more connected, striving together as one, becoming one. Mm-hmm. That's a much better way to orient these conflicts.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, how do we do this? So when we're actually in conflict now, so we've talked about what you should strive toward when you're in conflict. How do you do it in conflict? So what are some practical ways to move through conflict? Mm-hmm. I think a good way to do this, especially in conflict, because it's so common, is to talk about some things you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Before you get into that, can I just say, I think James 1:19 is a perfect example of one thing, of things you should or should not do in conflict, and it's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And so those are things that you should do in conflict. So I know that's not where you're going with your next part, but I feel like it fits in here also as,
totally fits.
As a way to do it well.
Yeah, no, that totally fits. Glad you brought that up. And that's stated so simply. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Yeah. Slow to get angry.
Yeah.
Just a great reminder in conflict. Yeah. So what are some things to avoid? I thought I would bring this up. There's a doctor. His name's Dr. John Gottman. He's a researcher and clinician, and he has done work on divorce predictions and marriage stability. And he came up with this thing called the four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to bad behaviors in dealing with conflict in marriage. And his point was, through extensive research, he came up with these four things. These four things were, if you do these four things in conflict, it's going to destabilize your marriage, and unfortunately, are predictors also of divorce. So,
not good.
Bad.
All right.
Four things.
What are they?
One, criticism. Two, contempt. Three, defensiveness. And four, stonewalling. So, just very quickly. So, criticism, I think, relatively simple to think about. How do you criticize someone? It's sort of putting them down, I guess, or putting a behavior down, like calling that out, I would say. Contempt is actually, it's kind of a step beyond criticism in my mind. It's sort of like, hey, I'm holding you in contempt is sort of saying, I'm almost going to your intention, I would say. This is how I think about it. Like, I think that you just at the core are wrong or off. That's how I think about contempt, you know. Mm-hmm. When I hear contempt, that's what I think about. Three, defensiveness. One I can relate to, by the way, a lot. So when I'm in conflict, I want to win. This is a confession on my part. I want to try to win. So,
well, because you're competitive.
Yeah. In nature, so. And so if you're going to throw something at me, I got some defense for it, you know?
Yeah, you do.
And usually my defense is like through logic, like, hey, I'm going to logically walk you through why what I did was right. So defensiveness is the one where I'm kind of like, yeah, man, that one hurts me. That I can see. I can see myself doing. And then stonewalling is sort of shutting down. Just shutting down, completely shutting down. And not shutting down like, hey, we'll revisit this later, but like, nope, I'm done.
I also think of like the silent treatment here.
Yeah.
I don't know if,
yes, exactly,
if that fits in there or not, but
that's how I think about it too.
Okay.
So these four, bad. Yeah. Are there any of those four that like hit you a little bit?
Probably defensiveness as well. Yeah.
What I think about, when I think about these four, they also kind of roll into each other a little bit.
I was going to say, maybe criticism. You might call me out on criticism.
Well, when I see these four, so it goes in criticism, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling. That's the order that this Dr. John Gottman presents them in. But actually, I think of defensiveness almost as sort of the start. And again, I don't know. This is just me talking. I almost think of it as the start. Like, okay, there's some thing going on that you maybe call out as a conflict. Defensiveness hits me first. I can kind of roll that into criticism. If that goes too far, I can kind of roll that into contempt. If none of that's working, stonewall. Silent treatment, like shut down, you know, shut it out.
Yeah. Okay.
So these four are things to avoid. And maybe just a couple practical tips then. So the opposite of some of these, maybe I want to talk about. So I mentioned, I think defensiveness is that first one to watch out for. And you go, okay, someone's saying, hey, this bothered me. You know, I didn't like how this happened. The opposite of defensiveness is a little bit like, what, how can I take on that responsibility as much as I can, at least? Like, okay, how could I see what you said, Fallon, about what bothered you? How could I be like, I could see how that might have happened. How can I take on some responsibility and say, oh man, I really didn't mean for that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen. Like, and then these things then start to diffuse the situation, and then you can talk about it. You can get to the next part so quickly. You know, I think criticism and contempt are sort of, so criticism's almost a bit back to that respond react side. Like you can start to react, and that's where your criticism can come in. Well, you never, or you always, that's where I think about criticism, these words of like absolutes. You never, you always do this. That's where I think criticism comes in. Contempt's almost like a heart thing, and that's tough. That's where you kind of need to get into your own prayer closet and say, Lord, forgive me of contempt. I'm holding my spouse in contempt, and you kind of need to defeat that really at the core.
I was thinking the same thing about those. Just if you notice that feeling, you know, and like Mark, you were saying, that's a heart issue. I think you do need to go to prayer. I mean, I think, you know, go back to that quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. You might just need to hear your spouse out, and you might need to go pray then before you even come back to speak, you know, especially if you're starting to feel that contempt, for example, or any of these things really, and go to the Lord and ask him to search your heart, you know, reveal any wicked way in me, as the scripture says, you know, pray that and ask for forgiveness, you know, confess those things, and then come back when your heart's in a better state.
Yeah. And I would say, thinking about these four things, if you find yourself not able to avoid these four things, just want to call this out. We've talked a little bit here about not avoiding conflict. So avoiding conflict's sort of bad. In fact, you want to kind of get it out, talk through it. But if you find yourself not able to avoid these four things, criticism, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling, you can sort of call a timeout. You can say, hey, I need a little bit of time. And I want to call out here, this is a two-way street. If your spouse says, I need a little bit of time, give them some time. And if you feel yourself not able to avoid these things, ask for some time. Go back and say, hey, I need a little bit of time. A little bit of time is the emphasis here. Don't just stuff it and then avoid it. So don't stonewall it. Don't just say, hey, it's gone, I'm shutting down, silent treatment, I'm gone. Give yourself some time. Get out of there. Get to your prayer closet. Pray about it. Then come back to it. Then come back to it. I mean, I think time's critical there as well.
So that would essentially be the opposite of stonewalling, right?
Yeah.
You might need to take a time out for a while, but make sure you come back to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So what about things that you might feel, hey, maybe this is just a petty thing that I don't want to. So the point here is pick your battles. Are there things that we need to really do consider, say, hey, I don't think I should make this a battle?
Right. Yeah. Like that's, you know, probably when you heard the title of this episode, you know, pick your battles, you probably thought it was going to be about, oh, what things should I choose to argue about or battle with my spouse about or whatever words you want to use. And, you know, so there is that as well. There is that piece to this. And I feel like there are some things that just, they're petty. You know, we joke a lot about, Mark, how you, and I think you do still do this, but you know, when you're done doing dishes or giving the girls a bath or whatever, you'll wring out the wash rag, but then you leave it in this crumpled up wad and just set it on the counter or on the side of the bathtub. And I look at it, I'm just like, I put my hands up like, so confused and just baffled as to why you leave the wadded up wet rag right there. Like, you're supposed to open it up and lay it out so it'll dry. And so I brought that up to you a few times and then I just gave up. You know, but it's just like, in the grand scheme of things, you think about, okay, is that a battle worth picking, right? Or is it something that is not really that big of a deal? And I don't know of a way for, you know, that's individual. You're going to have to decide that individually. And even maybe through prayer, right? Maybe that's another thing. Like, you just need to search your heart. Like, why does it really bother me that you wad up the wash rag? Well, because then it gets stinky quicker. But is that that big of a deal? Like, we have another wash rag, you know? Yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
No, yeah. I think that is a good illustration, even though it's a reflection of me. The idea, though, being that you did bring those up, you brought those things up to me, and whether you think it or not, I've tried to move in that direction more to say, okay, these are the types of things I should do better at. Mm-hmm. I can actually think of another one, which was when I would get out of the shower, I would step out of the shower and onto the floor and let myself drip onto the floor for some reason.
I forgot about that.
And somehow in my brain that made sense that I would step out onto the floor, then dry myself off. And you were like, what? Why would you do that? And I'm like, well, that's just what you do.
I forgot about that.
And in that case, I got over the defensiveness and I said, okay, there is a better way. I could just dry off in the shower and then before I step out of the shower. So it's okay to bring some things up and think about, you know, what you can do. But then, like you said, hey, is this a big deal for me? You and I have talked about this a little bit too, that I will never be as good as you at noticing things either out of place or that need cleaned up. But I would like to think I've tried to nudge myself more in that direction because I know it matters to you. And I think you've nudged yourself in the direction to say, oh, Mark will never be as perceptive as me to these things. And so I'm sure there's times where you're like, okay, this is something I would like to point out, but I'm not going to point it out because it's okay. And so I think that's also, I think that answers it for sure.
Good. So before we hop off here, let's just kind of recap very quickly some of the topics that we chatted about today. The first one was picking your battles in the context of who your battle is against, right? Your spouse or someone in the flesh versus someone not in the flesh, the evil one, you know, evil spirits and forces of the dark world. And then we also talked about just navigating conflict well within the context of you and your spouse. Or, you know, a lot of these things could apply to you and someone else as well, how to navigate conflict well. And then we chatted about picking your battles, as in, which battles do you pick, right? Which things do you choose to, for lack of a better phrase, make a big deal of versus what things you don't?
Yeah, and when you are choosing your battles and when you are thinking about conflict, don't think about it as a negative.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to strengthen and deepen your relationship with your spouse, is today mainly what we're talking about. And avoid the four horsemen. Mm. The four horsemen during conflict are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling.
Yeah, it's good.
And when you find yourself unable to avoid those, ask for a little time out, come back, and go through those conflicts again to strengthen and deepen your relationship.
Sounds good.
Okay, so with that,
Thanks so much for joining us. If you would, or if you found this content helpful, please share this on social media, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers, and spread the word.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.